on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. It's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, Charlottesville, welcome to another edition of Blokes on the Bench. I'm Andy.
Alex.
Mark.
Christian.
All right, let's just jump right on to
the elephant. Man, does that Oasis acquiesce really charge me up to get on this
pump
show.
You up. Let's go. We're pumped up, and now it's obviously a bit of a letdown. The elephant in the room, obviously, was the game during the week. The U.S. men's soccer team against Trinidad and Tobago.
Men's U.S. lack of soccer team.
It's out of the World Cup. Not looking good. I mean, no one's happy in the U.S.
Lucky for you, baby girl, you were born in Canada.
True story. The Canadians were not even really close to it.
You know what? I'm going to pass them over to the American audience.
Well, let's go right over to Christian.
All right. I'm going to give Christian some time. I'm going to say what I want to say because Christian was like, "Give me a couple minutes." We're still, like, gutted by this. We're still, like, and it's not going to set in. It's like with Arsenal and Champions League. Like, it only set in when Champions League came about. And I know for me and Christian that once Russia rolls out and the first couple games, we're going to be even more gutted than we are now. And the thing is that we had a horrible qualifying campaign. Absolutely horrible. You know, we sacked Klinsmann. It's just, I don't know what to say. Because the only time we've not been in a World Cup in my lifetime was 86. I was 2 years old. Okay? I should have been at RFK seeing the Grateful Dead. Okay? But, like, that's a funny joke I'll get to off the show. It's so sad because, like, I was 2 years old, so I don't remember this. Like, when I moved to this town in 1989, I had played T-ball, okay? I came from Appomattox County, Virginia, where it's, like, football, cow pastures, and baseball. And I played T-ball, and I was saved when my family moved up here in 1989. Jeff Gaffney was one of the first person that I met. He is an All-American legend at the University of Virginia. Taught me how to play the sport, got me into the sport. The 94 World Cup, that was our showcase.
That
was our... Like, I know we're late to the party, mm-hmm. but here we are.
Yeah, for sure.
And
the U.S. played well in that World Cup, too.
Yeah, and
we did.
Kits.
Yeah, no, those were great kits. I saw some people wearing those kits the other night at Cardinal Hall. But, like, here's the thing, man. Like, it's just so blinding to not be involved in this. And the way we went out and what I was getting to was... Having grown up in Forest Lakes, that's where I'm from.
Okay.
Bruce Arena used to live in Forest Lakes.
Really?
I played
really?
Soccer with his son. I don't know him well. Like, I don't still have his number. I can't text him and be like, hey, you ruined everything for us. Like,
But you blame him then?
No, I don't blame him. I was telling people all week that he was a Band-Aid appointment.
After
what happened with Klinsmann, like...
He was the easiest appointment at the time.
Yes, and a Band-Aid appointment, like I said.
So qualifying didn't go so well under Klinsmann, but it didn't go well under him either.
No, it didn't. And I think that this is what I'm going to get to, and I'm going to close sort of with this. Closing for me is hard in many ways.
No coffee for you.
Yeah, so this is what I'm going to kind of close with. The fact of the matter is that... It was a bad qualifying campaign to begin with. Mm-hmm. We couldn't right the ship. We appointed a manager that knows the destination. clearly knows the destination.
Been there,
done that.
Knows it, yeah.
He got a draw against Italy in the 2006 World Cup. No one beat them.
Can't
like,
be questioned.
You know, multiple national championships and
MLS Cups.
MLS Cups, right.
For what that's worth.
that's the point I was getting to next. Here's the thing. With the growth of this sport in this country, this is unacceptable.
Oh, without a doubt.
100% unacceptable. Like, we don't have the U system structure that, like, the European teams have.
Right.
Like, we don't have a La Masia. We don't have, like, a Southampton.
Well, you have to pay to play here in the States.
You have to pay to play here. And it's actually the third most played sport for kids. Like, we were talking about this last week. Like, Alex has a kid now. And it's like, a lot of parents are like, we don't want our kids playing football.
With all the injuries and stuff?
Yeah, with the head injuries. And so it's like, it's very prevalent. And like, if you look at it as a sport globally, it is the easiest sport to play. You need yourself and a ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. The other sport that's easy to play is basketball.
Right.
Because you need a hoop and you need a ball.
Right.
Football, they're revenue sports because they cost a lot of money. I played lacrosse as a kid.
Oh.
Same thing. Like
big money sport.
Just to play lacrosse and golf as well, like
hockey.
Your parents are like
loaded. You've got to be upper middle class to play in a lot of these sports that you're just talking about. But really, you do to be in the U.S. as well to play soccer, and that's the pay to play thing that Christian was talking about. So I want to hear from Christian right here. What do you got to say?
Well, I mean, this was the end of the disease, right? This was just systematic or symptomatic. Sorry, that was the word I was looking for. Symptomatic of the entire disease. This day was coming. It's been coming for a long, long time.
And we've been wanting to avoid it.
And we have. And it does mirror a lot in the way of. And I'm not going to get into politics because it's obviously not a conversation to get into. But there were so many people who in this election voted the way they did because they were tired of the way the system was. So they chose a candidate who was unconventional and went off the rails because they were tired of the way the system was. And for so long, a lot of us looked at American football and were like, yeah, our system doesn't work. And we're arrogant to get into the World Cup every year and people moan and groan because we get.
And it's a guarantee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just a God-given right that
like
the
we
U.S.
just walk into it.
Right. And we deserve to be because we're the United States of America. But we're never addressing the bigger questions, the promotion relegation issue, the pay to play. We're not in line with the way the rest of the world is.
And that's a good point.
There is just from the top down.
Right.
And I'm going to just keep myself cool about it. Arenas, his bravado after the match.
Nothing needs to change.
It's shameful. It's shameful. And what? He should not, as the face of the team at that point, because the players are gone at that, you know, they're not going to face the music like he is.
It's a rotating cast, and that's been part of the problem.
And he doesn't know from month to month what he's working with. It's just, and the fact that Gulati is still working in the function that he is, claims that there is no need for any big change, that he serves his term regardless. Any other country in the world that sport is as important,
he'd be gone.
He's a total pariah at this point.
His contract only went to the end of the qualifying, so he was gone regardless. They would need to renew him. So like firing him would have been for just to make things look nice.
But that's what we need.
To zing a guy in the words of Seinfeld, like.
But I mean, like he was already done. Like he wasn't. He's not getting paid anymore. He's
going to run for re-election.
Are you talking about
Gulati?
Gulati. I was talking about Arenas. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. So Gulati is still president until I think it's February, and then there's a vote.
Mm-hmm. He gone.
He should be.
Well, is he
gone?
I mean, that's the question. How corrupt is this system? The very top.
The other thing I heard. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was an article I read. I think it was from ESPN FC. That some of the players that were playing overseas in leagues out of the U.S., so out of MLS, were not being given the chance to play.
Right. Because
especially MLS is the only team. You have to play within the MLS or you're not getting on the squad or you're sitting on the sidelines.
It's the arrogance of
the management.
Well,
what is this, Italy? Like, it used to be back in the day, if you were on the Italian national squad, like, if you played outside of Italy, you were gonna, like, it's so mafioso, like. If you played outside of Italy and you went outside of playing for an Italian club, they're like, we're done with you.
Can I assign some, like, some reading for the group and for anybody who's listening? And I'm overdue to read this book.
Can
book
I get Cliff Notes?
I'd be happy to do it if I can ever finish the book. There's a book called Das Reboot. It's about the German system that rebooted itself.
In 2000, you were talking about this on a thread the other day.
And okay? this is what, and we're not obviously Germany, so the result isn't going to be there in 10 years, but maybe it'll be there in 20, maybe it'll be there in 30. I mean, I'm 44. I'd like in my lifetime to see the U.S.
I would too. Yeah.
Make a run, make a threat.
Run. Hey, you know, they made a run in South Korea now.
Right, now they did. We're talking about right now. I mean, that team for the last 10 years or so, where were we ever going to score three or four goals? If we got down 1-0 in the last 8 years, I'll say, I knew we couldn't win. We could maybe draw. We'd scratch out a draw just because our guys are so physical that they can maybe win something. But you watch the MLS, there's no technical skill.
No.
There's nothing going on.
We're like the Stoke City of the international football world.
I think that that's a kind way to say it. I mean, if you look at the MLS, first of all, I don't watch it. It's unwatchable.
It's unwatchable. It's, as a season ticket holder who sat in the stands, it is unwatchable.
But it's
and
different being at the game. You know, it's, then seeing
I've been
it on
to a
television,
few MLS
like,
games, and they're all the build up is so slow.
Really, you weren't the star striker in the game? Like,
I was in the stands along with everyone else at a DC United game against the New England Revolution
at the beautiful RFK
and the whole stands are like moving up and down and. It's I mean, you got to love the atmosphere that some of the stadiums have, and it's not the fans aren't the problem.
Seattle's a good stadium,
and apparently, if you look at what's happening in Atlanta, I mean, they're getting like record Atlanta.
That's one of the coaches they're looking at to replace.
Yeah, I mean, so things are. I think that there is a lot of promise. These are my things with the U.S. One, Christian said the word arrogance earlier. It was batted around a lot in the media afterwards, where there's an assumption that you're going to make the World Cup. You've got to earn your spot there.
Every
U.S.
team does.
Has been lucky enough to earn their way there since 86. But the reality is that they haven't really been that good. They haven't.
We didn't.
Well, in 90, well, he didn't qualify in 86. I'm saying after 86.
Right.
And then of course, we hosted the World Cup. And, you know, we didn't have to
And you
qualify.
Know that hosting the World Cup in 94 was the precursor to getting MLS. MLS was the...
92, 93?
Right. Yeah, it was the reason that we were able to get the World Cup in the first place.
It was
place.
The blueprint of, like, hey, this can happen in this country.
And it's never really paid off. And, yeah, there's huge crowds in Seattle. There's huge crowds in Atlanta.
Portland.
Well, McDonald's has sold a billion hamburgers, okay? That doesn't make it good.
Right.
And that's what we need to look at. Until there's promotion and relegation in this country, there's a lot of foreign players who play with these MLS guys, and I've read quotes about them saying late in the season when these teams would have been relegated and just bottoming out and no future at all. These American players, because they've never faced it, they treat it like all franchise sports. They're just like, yeah, we're playing out the string. It's no big deal. These South American guys are like, this is disgusting. How are you even walking around this locker room with like your head up? We are not a good team. Like, show some pride. Show some guts. I would rather lose trying than just float. And that's what we're doing. That's what these owners have been happy to do, float, collect their fees, collect the franchise fees. It's just what's going on is wrong. And until people get angry about it, it's just going to keep going. It's like any corrupt system.
Yeah, but I don't see MLS changing as
no,
a result of
it
this.
Won't.
Because of the money that's involved there with the franchise fees and that you have to pay hundreds of millions of dollars now to get into the MLS, why is it if a Richmond Kickers just down the way from us can be promoted into it and spend nothing at all, basically? You know, that's not going to happen. This is the United States. That's the way things work
it's
here.
It's the USSF. It needs D1 needs to be decertified. I credit so much of my education to the people I follow on Twitter that are just such pro-relegation fiends. Like, they don't care about anything else. That's what has to happen.
Right.
And we need those voices to get louder in the room. They need to stop being marginalized and realizing that this, and we've missed the last two Olympics, everybody. So that's another, our youth system isn't even working. Huh. And Pulisic, who I wear my shirt for him every once in a while, and
he is wearing it now.
Today,
Dortmund.
Yeah.
I thought he was wearing a Watford jersey. I was so
Here's
angry.
The way I look at it, right? If the Division 1 in 92-93 can switch and become the Premier League and reshuffle, then we can do it here.
We could make the best football federation, not in the world, but we could definitely make something here that's on par with South America.
Here's what we need to do. We need to build soccer academies and get kids through them.
We need to build,
keep them there.
We need to build football academies.
I do want to hear Andy's opinion on this because he is not.
And we do have to do a relegation, some type of relegation promotion thing, because it just, not only does it help bring teams you've never, obviously you've never heard of, or you know, like there's fresh blood there every year, but also like
it's not teams that you've never heard of. There's tons of teams in big markets that are like, we want to club.
But the other thing is
the MLS squads, right?
The other thing is though that, like you were saying about passion, like when teams know they're going to get relegated, you know, there's it's not just safe. Oh, we can sit in sixth spot this year. You know, like, you've got to earn your way to keep it there.
It's not even that, too. Like, I was telling a bloke at the bar at Chabin yesterday, Arsenal supporter, English guy. I was telling him Greggy's old thing of how, like, these clubs in England, they get to a certain point where it's like, we're safe. And they start and putting on their sandals, and they go on holiday. And Greggy's totally right about that, man. Like,
yeah, you got those were a little bit more mid-table squads.
40 points and you're safe.
Yeah,
like West Bromwich and teams like that.
But you earn those 40 points. Those 40 points don't come
handed to you.
Yeah, you have to earn. There's three clubs.
Nothing in this game is handed
to
you,
and that's the way the game should be played, with heart and with passion. And the United States doesn't have it at its professional level, and that has. It's just symptomatic. I'll get that word right eventually. Symptomatic of the corruption in the entire division.
The other thing is, it's hurting getting kids interested in sport, because the World Cup always is, in this country, is famous for getting the country behind them.
When I first came to Charlottesville at Forest Lakes, when I moved in with my parents as a 5-year-old, Jeff Gaffney, striker, legend at University of Virginia, he was also a realtor. He ran a camp in the summertime. He called it World Cup. And all the parents would bring their kids. I was one of them. And
yeah, but I think that you're saying exactly what's wrong with the problem. You had to pay probably to get into that.
No.
You had no.
Well, I mean, maybe.
I think if you look at the problems.
I have to check the bank statement.
Let's diagnose the problems that are out there with the U.S. The arrogance piece, where the U.S. is no longer the scrappy, fight for everything, win the 50-50 balls. This team is no longer that. They are people that think that they are people that should make it in Europe. Some of them have made it in Europe, but a lot of them haven't, and they're still in the MLS or back in the MLS from being in Europe.
Or they're like a fringe player at some like small European club.
Yeah, so you have people, basically you have a different type of squad. You don't have that gritty team that is wears everything on their shoulder and is basically going to go sell out to win. They're basically, it's almost like me. I play in like house league soccer around here. There's sometimes I don't slide because it's like, you know what? I actually want to get up and walk around later in the week. It's like they're doing that, except this is their job. This is everything that they should do is make that slide. But they don't. They don't really seem to care.
When I play FIFA, I am in on every tackle. I'm hitting that square button.
He plays with conviction and passion.
Hard. A little different.
Like. Waking up the neighbors. Let's go.
But okay, so I think that the squad itself has changed over the years.
Waking up the neighbors and waking up your legs are two different things.
I think the squad has changed, and it's no longer the same underdog. Now we're like assumed to win, and that's the kind of feeling that
who on that side, especially in CONCACAF, do you think is going to win anything?
I don't think the U.S. is going to win a World Cup in my lifetime.
But I agree,
based on the way things are going, and I don't see the demographics changing. I don't see anything changing that is.
Well, he's also an England fan, so we should really ask him does he think
England's going to win a World Cup in his lifetime?
I think we talked about that a few weeks ago. I won't root for another country aside from my own, but.
So are you going to boycott the World Cup?
No, I watch football for the passion of it. I can, being a neutral. I love being a neutral because watching my clubs makes me physically ill because I want to win, and the stakes we go at are so high as a city supporter, and because of our U.S. We're nationals. This is what we want to see.
Christian's just going to have a heck of a offshore betting account come the World Cup.
All right, guys. All right, guys. The time is 6:40. We'll be right back. All right, guys. We're back. So let's we could literally, like you were saying, talk.
I think we could go the whole hour talking about that.
No, that's not.
Let's not. Club over country.
I think if we do, Christian would get physically ill. I'm seeing him hitting his face.
It's hard. I mean, I'm like I said, I'm 44 years old. The next time, possibly, that the USA plays in the World Cup, I'll be almost 50. And that's, you know, you're losing kids that could be interested.
That's the biggest thing. I agree with them. Like, it's like
Nike's going to lose money. Fox is going to lose all these.
Fox is going to lose part of socializing.
So Fox paid $200 million for this World Cup, and they're going to lose.
Have you heard
so
what their business plan is now?
They're all losing money.
They're selling out.
The United States is not in the World Cup. They're all losing money.
They're selling out on Mexico. Mexico will be the club, be the side that Fox Sports is going to be front and center with. Which I have no problem with Mexico. They qualified. They deserve the accolade for getting there. But we're going to have to listen to another country being promoted on our airwaves.
Well, this is exactly what Trump doesn't want, right?
Okay. It's a complete failure.
All right, let's leave
that
there.
Hold on. One thing. My good friend Charlie Owen, Man U fan.
Mm-hmm.
English club.
Oh, Charlie.
Charlie made it.
We got to get Charlie in here.
Yeah, we do.
I love that.
Oh, man, it made me so angry. But at the same time, he was like, props to the United States men national team in boycotting the World Cup in Russia.
There you go.
It's like the Olympics in 1980.
From Russia with love.
We have to crack on with the games. All right, so Liverpool versus Man United.
Had to wake up early on this one. Yeah.
You had to wake up, but you stayed asleep.
I stayed asleep.
Yeah,
I literally fell asleep.
However, your manager is just like, I don't think he's going to take you where you need to go.
We'll see.
This is another issue that...
No, because Pep Guardiola, like Man City, is running things right now. Like, they won 7-2. Mm-hmm. Like, when... In the league, giving you a compliment. No, they weren't. But Man City is not backing down. Like, the problem with Mourinho...
Tom Petty, wow. Yeah.
Can you say that one?
Please don't say
that. There we go.
I'm a singer-songwriter, bro.
This is another issue.
Bro.
one of my favorite issues to talk about, and this would be...
Tom Petty.
One of those, Tom Petty, for sure. One of those episodes we could do when there are no matches... pragmatism versus results. And there's the thought that the Johan Cruyff world where playing the beautiful game and exciting everybody, that's the way to play. If you lose 5-4,
yeah, no, that backfired against my team this week.
Right. But then you have someone like Mourinho, and I hate to admit it, there's a side of me, the dark arts, that really enjoys what Mourinho does because he looks at the long picture. He sees the whole thing. He's maybe not afraid of Liverpool, because why would you be, frankly? I mean, most overrated club in the Premier League year after year. I would have gone in there and played with some ambition, and if they beat you 3-2, then they beat you and you tip your cap and you say, well done.
But did you hear the quotes that Mourinho said after the game?
Oh, it's great.
The midfield is stronger. They have more speed.
Yeah.
It's like he basically came in and parked the bus. He didn't even try to win the game.
He didn't try to win the game. He did everything to lose the game.
Exactly. And you United, just wanted the point.
You United supporters out there, and we have one in the room, and if Charlie's listening too, I give a lot of credit to what United are doing because they see the long game. They're trying to get the points where they can. They'll get them, and they'll beat the teams they can beat, and there'll come a day where they're at the Etihad or City go into Old Trafford.
And they really need to turn it on.
And they'll turn it on because they've got the talent. You know, they
Mourinho said he didn't have the talent. He didn't have the bench. He didn't have the players.
Do you buy anything that Jose Mourinho says?
I think with the talent that he has and what he's done across, really, the continent of Europe, he is the most defensive coach out there right now.
Without a doubt. He takes players like Eden Hazard and... Rashford, who was nursing a knock, so I can't give him a hard time about this match. But,
well, I would say Hazard and Rashford like are somewhat similar, like positionally players. Like,
I see what he did to Hazard as just being suicidal. What he did with a player who has so much talent.
He could win the Ballon d'Or.
He could, once Messi and Ronaldo retire. But what he did, yeah, that's the only way anyone else is winning.
Seriously.
I just found absolutely backward. Do you guys remember there was a big match that Chelsea played against Everton in 2014-15, sorry. And it was early in the year. They went into Everton, I believe, and won 6-3. They played beautiful, wide-open football. And then they played you guys. They played Spurs at Christmas time, and Spurs spanked them. And then they closed down shop. And they won the title, but they never went back to playing that beautiful football that they were capable with all those excellent players that Mourinho had brought in and that were there previous to him. Now you look at what's with the United side, who I think have quite a bit of talent, and Pogba's not even there. So
That's the one that hurts them the most.
Yeah,
in midfield.
You can't. Yeah, the dabbing and the social media stuff. There's all that. But he is a singular talent. What he did at Juventus, I'm all about the midfield. He put like the Yaya Toure grand runs and passes to kind of like this was the reboot of that. This was a younger, stronger, more capable version, and the future was so bright. And it's unfortunate he's hurt, but as we know, injuries are part of this game.
Yeah, but he came back way too early. He hurt his hamstring. He was supposed to be out for 8 weeks or something like that, and he was back in like 3 weeks playing in the Champions League and then re-injured it. It didn't make any sense to me. It was the kind of move that Arsenal would do with having some injured player go out there and re-pull that hamstring. It didn't make any sense. I was shocked that he wasn't playing.
Arsenal move, really?
Yeah, because Arsenal's
Mr. Spur.
Who's a bigger loss for them right now, in the immediate future? Is it Fellaini or is it Pogba? Because they seem to be okay without Pogba, and obviously he's a much better player.
Where's Jeremy Lamb when we need him?
Fellaini is a bench player for them. He comes on when they're winning or trying to keep a draw going.
I don't know. He starts some games.
Yeah, he scored two goals just last in the last... What the last game? I guess it was a few weeks ago.
What do you guys think of Martial?
What?
Because that's an interesting.
I think he might be going to Arsenal.
He's a super sub.
What I think.
He'd look great at Arsenal. He's a Danny Welbeck type of player who's going to go to Arsenal and probably thrive because he'll play open and good football.
The comparisons to Thierry Henry as well at the start of his career.
Understandable. And I will offload Ozil to you boys.
You can keep him.
Yeah.
No, well, that's what your club is thinking of doing.
I know. I saw the rumor mill.
They're not rumors.
I'm not.
It's probably going to happen, and I'll be so glad if it does.
Well, Mourinho has a relationship with
Ozil. We will give you Ozil,
I don't want to harp on about it because I think it's old news, and I'm just going to let it sit and not bother about it.
But
there are talks about Griezmann. The Griezmann story is
coming back. That'll come back next year. I don't think that's happening.
Griezmann
isn't going anywhere
in the next 8 months.
It's not happening in January.
No. There's talk about the summer. Again, that's what I'm talking about, old news. I'm going to let that sit.
He has a 100 million euro buyout clause, which nowadays looks like nothing.
Chump change.
He signed it, and I'm pretty sure it doesn't kick in until January.
Or your boy, Gareth Bale.
He's not coming back.
Bale's not coming back. He's a Real Madrid boy. He will come back to the Premier League eventually, I believe.
Not at Tottenham.
But it's not happening in the next 5-6 years. It'll be like his swan song.
His swan song, yeah, the last 2 years.
Probably be at Swansea.
I would wager bets with you right now. Like, I don't think that's true.
Southampton, maybe.
All right.
No, I think we'll be at United.
Let's move on, guys.
Just before we get away from the United match, I'd like to, and we kind of talked about it on our little chat online, that United only had one shot on goal. It was only their second shot at goal at Anfield in the two matches there. Again, I credit the fact that they get draws out of this because maybe they're afraid. I mean, when City go in to play Liverpool at Anfield, Liverpool just run all over us and make us look inept, completely inept. So maybe
Arsenal too.
Yeah,
De Gea had amazing saves.
He saved, just gorgeous.
That's not true.
All right, let's move on. Spurs versus Bournemouth.
That's one game over the last 5 years.
Spurs dominated in many respects, but ultimately scoreline was 1-0.
Begovic
had a lot of really good saves.
Yeah.
But that result reminded me a lot of the Swansea game, which Spurs ended up drawing in the end, 1-1. Mm-hmm. Chris Wood scored the Burnley game where they came back and won that. Anyway, it reminded me a lot of both of the Burnley and the Swansea game, where clearly Spurs are the better team. The build-up was so slow in both first and second half. it was I was watching the game and it was just making me sick. I mean, you're sitting there and they're making the simple pass and there's no one really trying to make any kind of runs deep. It was really slow. It was basically, if they play like that against Madrid, they're going to lose like 6-0, basically.
Right.
Because it was...
Is that who you have this week in Champions?
On Tuesday, Tottenham play Madrid, and it's not going to be pretty if they play like that. I will say that I think Spurs...
It's not going to be pretty either way. Maybe just focus on the Premier League before you even get ahead of yourself.
Spurs set up for the game in preparation for Madrid. So Ben Davis didn't play. They played Son out wide. Harry Winks played... And Dembele was on the bench. Dembele
Harry
will start.
Winks. Harry Winks sounds like a pickup call.
Starter,
in England.
Starter for England, just a game ago. Trippier was out there. I see Serge Aurier playing out wide. Anyway, the whole point though is that the team was set up to get the points, go home. This was actually their first win of the season at home, and we're talking. This is mid October.
It's not at home. Yeah. It's at Wembley.
It is their home for the year.
Point, yeah.
Yeah, good luck with that.
So, well, that's the reason that Spurs will not challenge for the title this year, is that they're playing extremely well on the road, but at home,
you've already given up. You're going to like just make that excuse right off the bat? Like you don't have.
I don't see Spurs winning the title. I think Spurs will be top four.
I still rate them. I still think they're in the
I mean, I know you're honest, Alex.
This is disappointing. It's so funny.
Yeah, it is disappointing, like...
That I wanted to talk to you because during midweek there was some commentary that Pep was asked some questions in regards to who he thought was going to be there at the end of the season, and he said, well, he hoped that City would and that United he felt was going to be there and Chelsea were going to be there, and then he said he thinks that Harry Kane's team's going to be there.
Hurricane.
Pochettino took that as a personal
slight. It was definitely a slight.
Well, it's not a slight. The two of them are friendly, number one, and Pep said the next day after being confronted by reporters who have knives out about the
thing. I don't think he was trying to do it, but it was...
No, I don't think
so.
Like,
it was a backhanded compliment, is what I would call it.
I think that when English is your second language and you're speaking in a press conference full of people who are, again, knives out about everything... And examining every little thing, and this is where Mourinho, I think his ability to speak in English is he employs the dark arts better than anybody else. But I don't think Pep had any slight in that at all, and he said so after the fact. He was like, I didn't mean that. And I think about speaking in a second language and trying to come up with these things.
I mean, I think that we all get burned in our lives for saying things that
Absolutely.
We don't even necessarily mean, but we say it nonetheless.
But do you think he meant that as a slight?
That's because we all like to drink alcohol.
I think that when he said that, the reality is, if you look at Spurs and the percentage of goals scored by Harry Kane and what he's doing this year, he is having an amazing season.
He's had three great seasons.
And he is, at this point, he's either the best striker in England in terms of the players in the EPL, or he's one of the top two or three.
Yeah, it's him, Lukaku, and Aguero.
Exactly.
When Aguero's healthy.
Those are the top three.
Yeah. So and it's funny, I wanted to text you during that and just be like, look, as a City supporter, I don't look at Spurs as anything but an absolute challenger to the title. Not to say that we have anything. I don't take any... We've done this before. We've had this great run, and it didn't mean anything.
You always
hit a rocky
patch.
It's only October. Right. Things happen. Injuries occur. So it's great right now. Enjoy it. But you don't see... I'm not wearing my City shirt today. I'm not running down, you know, Main Street with my City flag. It's like... I'll see you come April. I'll see you come May. We know what this takes.
I think that City have the strongest team far and away in the Premier League right now. And I've been saying all year that it's a Manchester, basically derby for the title.
A couple years ago.
But based on the way that like United set up today, I see City. Because I think City are going to go for it in every game. Mm-hmm. We saw that against Chelsea a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. United aren't going to do it. United will literally concede 2 points right off the bat to certain teams on the road. Mm. And that's what they did against Liverpool. They're going to do it basically against the other top three or four teams.
So do you see United going into Wembley, let's say, and shutting it down?
No, because Spurs cannot actually play well in Wembley. So I think that actually, I think a lot of teams play better in Wembley against Tottenham than they would at home. Mm.
Then what's this fear about Anfield then? I mean, yeah, Liverpool carried the play because United basically said, here's the ball.
Mourinho said it. he said that the midfield, they played three in the midfield, mm-hmm. and three that are stronger, faster, and better than the than Herrera and Matic, who are players that are basically, they play the simple ball, mm-hmm. and they're maybe, you know, average to, no, they're above average holding midfielders, but they're not players that are really going to shut down some of the, you know, top players in the world, I would say. Matic had a great shot, and he almost scored yeah. from, and you know, we'd be talking about a completely different game
yeah.
if he hits that. Emre Can had a couple chances as well.
He's a great underrated player, by the
all
way.
Right.
One last question about United. One last question. Does anyone know why Arlo White didn't announce that match? I was curious why the front team didn't do the call on that match.
Timing,
NBC.
Maybe? I don't know.
It's the biggest match in England.
Maybe
we really do have to catch on.
Yeah.
So Swansea versus Huddersfield. Did anyone?
So Swansea Huddersfield. It ended up being
maybe
what?
Swansea
had two goals, both by Abraham. Really, I mean, if you look at it, Swansea played really, really well here. Swansea needed to win this if they're going to stay up. And you know, these are two teams that are likely.
And it's going to be a battle for them. Like,
yeah,
both
exactly.
of these teams, like, it's going to be like two. It's like a like the Premier League is like a marathon. So like,
and the battle will be at relegation. I think is what you're trying to say, right?
Yeah. Well, it's just like, you know, a marathon's what, like 26.2 miles. Like, my friends that watch American football all the time are like, you're watching football all the time. And I'm like, yeah, that's because the season goes from, like, August until May. There's 38 games. And that doesn't just include the Premier League. That includes
Champions
FA Cup.
League.
If you're in Champions League,
or
Europa League,
yeah.
or,
yeah.
like,
League
Cup, FA Cup.
Or the League Cup means
a lot
to those teams who aren't in those competitions.
And they're like, we just, man, Mark, we feel like you're at a bar all the time watching games. And it's like, yeah, it's kind of true.
All right, do we need an intervention? Is that what you're...
That's what I'm hearing.
No,
I mean,
absolutely not.
So anyway,
Mark's friends reach out to us. We'll intervene.
I think we really got to give credit here to Swansea for playing a really good game,
problem.
Getting the 3 points at home and moving on. So let's keep on going.
Bearing in mind we have to go to a break in less than a minute, we'll talk more about it when we get back, but the Manchester City game versus Chelsea, what I'm talking about, Stoke.
Like, I don't know if there's much to talk about. They scored 7 goals. Like,
well, that's a lot to talk about.
But it was like, if you watch the goals,
it's really
the team play,
like,
the passing was so fast. The unselfishness was something that you drool over, and you're saying, oh, I wish that I could see that out of my squad. Not as though they're not, you know, Spurs aren't like that. But for me, it was one of those games where you look at them and you're like, wow.
De Bruyne,
this team is dominant.
De Bruyne
the
is
ginger.
An unbelievable force in the Premier League right now.
But I'd be careful with that, though. I agree with you, he is. And I agreed with them last season when you guys played us, United, and he scored against us. Everyone was saying he was, like, you know, De Bruyne was going to be this next big thing. And
he
then he kind of slipped
show
off.
Up in big games.
So man. I'm gonna say I think he is,
Chelsea.
But I'm going to, you know.
Well, he's set the record for assists.
Of course he's going to show up against Chelsea, baby girl. Really?
He's not playing forward like he was last year. He's playing a little deeper, so he wins these balls and transitions
all right.
play.
All right, guys, the time is now 20:07. We'll be right back.
All right.
Well, okay, back to City.
Back to City.
You're the City. City.
Back to City.
Yeah, so there was a lot to talk about in this. Obviously,
when there's 9 goals, there's always a lot to
talk
about. Yeah,
there's a lot to unpack. And when City were up 3-0, I was like, yep, just keep the clean sheet, please. And then it went 3-1 and then 3-2 early in the second half.
Yeah,
and you're
but
like,
don't say you're not happy with the 7-2.
I'm ecstatic like. About the 7 goals, but it made me a little nervous. Obviously, the second goal was an own goal. So there's not. Stoke had.
Kyle Walker.
Yeah, Kyle
Good
Walker,
riddance.
He's scoring
Cheer
goals.
Boy.
He's scoring he's goals, and he's top boy. Of the league. So just there's non-stop action going on at the front and the back. City have finally learned that even a team that's going to park the bus will play in the back, will stretch you out. We will make a mess of you if you want to sit back on us. And that's something that Pellegrini couldn't figure
Sané,
out.
Because you got Sané, like...
These guys, and this is with Aguero sitting on the bench, and so happy to see Aguero, because, again, I know people are like, oh, well, you know, the taxi or whatever. I'm like, anyone who's ever been in a car accident knows that any bad thing could happen. Like, it's the smallest thing that could have changed his entire life or end of his life. So I was so happy to see him already ready to go back on the bench. Fernandinho with the cannon
shot.
He
was on the bench?
Aguero, yeah. And I was happy that they don't feature him because we play Napoli this week, which you guys playing Real, us playing Napoli, these are we got to meet
those
at the bar.
Those are big matches.
Tuesday, let's figure something out.
Hey, I'm down.
I'm taking off a few hours from work then.
Yeah. You need to come out to my pub. They can win the Cello Golf Club.
We can't make it half an hour. Come on. Nevada coming to town.
Showing
to
all the games the weekend.
Does Uber show up out there? Because that's a bad thing. Again, De Bruyne is just running things rampant for Manchester City. That is a player. He's graduated from this... Chelsea must be looking at him and like, what did we do? You know, what did Mourinho do?
No, he has an attitude problem.
You think so?
Yes, De Bruyne definitely has an attitude problem, and I'm not gonna like delve into this because like
you are delving into it, so keep on going.
I'm kind of delving.
This is a deep dive. I'm looking forward to this.
It's not a total deep
dive. What's
the
attitude
problem? Like,
is it because he's a ginger?
That's part of it, yeah. My brother, happy birthday, Ryan. He's also a ginger.
A soulless ginger?
No, he's not soulless at all. Okay. Like, they're just like...
What do you mean, like, simply red? Like, he was... Go ahead.
Here's the thing. Just let me finish. So, like, with Mourinho, look at Mourinho's history. He's at United now.
I thought you were talking about the arrogance of De Bruyne. Why are we talking about
Mourinho? No. This is a whole other, and it's going to be done very quickly. Just shut up. So here's the thing. So, like, with Mourinho, he's very, very uninclined to play young players, no matter how much they cost, no matter how good he thinks they are. Look at Rashford. Finally, Rashford is crushing it for you all. Last season, he never played him. Lukaku. Do I have to mention this? Like... Chelsea, Lukaku,
so
like never.
Mourinho doesn't play young players.
He doesn't,
and so
like
because of that, De Bruyne is arrogant.
No, De Bruyne is arrogant because De Bruyne, Mourinho asked him to show his skills off, and De Bruyne was like, "I don't have to show you anything.
Well,
like
he does,
you paid this money to get me here."
Mark has
like,
a point about this. This was something that was brought up with his departure from Chelsea. Mourinho asked him to earn his spot, and De Bruyne was basically, and you know, you have to depend on the press.
It's like
the English
Ozil.
Press, which I don't.
That's why Ozil left Madrid and ended up at Arsenal, and now it's like, can we please get rid of Ozil?
I don't
please.
Depend on the English press for that
no.
much information, but he went to Wolfsburg and showed class.
Dominated.
And City brought him back. I'll just close it with this on the City match. Mark Hughes, former City manager.
He's great, but in certain games, he's
all
like
right,
Ozil.
This is the quote I want to close it with. Mark Hughes on Kevin De Bruyne. He's head and shoulders above anyone else in the Premier League. And yeah, Stoke, okay, whatever. But to hear a Premier League manager say that, plus Mark Hughes, who was a fantastic player on top of it, to hear those words, it gives me chills. It's like we're seeing the graduation of Kevin De Bruyne.
And one thing I want to say, though, if you look at him, he hasn't had... he didn't have a huge impact on like the score sheet, but he had three or four hockey assists where he had the pass that made the pass.
He's the one winning the ball in midfield and turning it around.
Guys, Crystal Palace versus Chelsea. We got to move on. This was the shock.
This made my day.
This was the shock
until Arsenal played.
So Chelsea now they've dropped out of Christian's top contention for the Premier League. Obviously, Chelsea have lost the plot, and I don't know where they're going to get it back because. They're going to be without Morata for a while. Now give Crystal Palace some credit because getting Zaha back, who I rate very highly, and again, when he went to Manchester United, I was so nervous because I really thought he was going to come through for them, be a real number 11 for them, but never really developed, probably because of the system and the manager. But
the manager?
Yeah, more than likely. But, you know, now Palace can push on. I don't really care to talk about the past. It's about the future now, and I think Palace can push on
from
there.
Well, I think that the biggest thing that happened here was the international break, and that Hodgson got a little bit of time with his players to kind of really build his system in, because he obviously
hasn't
been there that long.
Players played...
And all the
national duty.
Yeah, and some of them got injured, like Morata, you know, and so did...
Well, Morata was already injured.
But, sorry, not Morata, but Conte got injured, for instance. That's a big loss.
Oh, you know, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, okay. So he's out for 3 weeks.
Loftus-Cheek couldn't play for Crystal Palace today either, or yesterday.
Because he's on loan. But so what I thought was, I think it started with
Conte being on his
Hodgson being, really, he went for it. He went for it. He was at home, and he played a 4-4-2. Mm. He played two up top. And I think that, you know, you have to give a lot of credit to him at the beginning, because if you watched that match, and I had it on one of the few tablets and things like that I had up, like, they actually went for it. It wasn't like they parked the bus. They didn't pull the Mourinho move where we're going to sit back and look for a draw at home. They actually were going for the win.
Mm-hmm.
And they deserved those points. Palace was. Yeah.
Can we make a quick touch point on NBC Gold? Because this was something that came up in conversation. This match was featured over the air, but Manchester City was on the NBC Gold package for the first time this year, so I had to take the dive, the $50 plunge. I'm pleasantly surprised by what is offered on the NBC Gold package. There's a lot of on during the week programming. Yeah, I mean, it'll kill half an hour of your life, and that's about all it's
worth. What gets me is the quality of the feed.
I had no issue with my feed.
My feed, you can see it flips into HD.
Ting.
And then it comes back. Oh, you have Ting? You're like cheating. Ting is the 1 gigabyte.
He's not cheating. He just makes sure.
I just live in town. Do you live in town?
I do. It's just not in our area.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I had no drop at all.
You live off Fish Street. You're telling me you can't get Ting? Get that good?
Big shout out to Ting. Great provider.
I want Ting.
No data caps.
Come to Brookwood, Ting.
Gigabyte. Feed. I mean, it's fantastic.
Baby,
so I will, and I don't like spending money on basically anything. I will say I think the NBC Gold package is worth it. If you haven't taken the plunge already, it's worth your time. I wish I had bought it week one so I could have been up to date.
Well,
with
what
all
was
the
nice
stuff.
For me?
I wish we'd all talk to each other and just shared the fee. Come on,
I
man.
Said I would.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I like about Gold is that you can watch all the games just like you could last year. And if you have a couple tablets and a couple TVs, you can kind of set it all up and. You can't watch all the 10 o'clock games, but you can put on as many as possible. That's where I was, and it was a
Andy,
good spot.
I didn't get to see the fantasy show. Were there any tips on the fantasy show?
I didn't watch it this week. I was busy.
My fantasy team was
crap
this week,
too. They told me to drop all Arsenal players. That was smart.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. Speaking of Arsenal.
I'm about to punch you.
That is a beautiful segue.
Let's skip the Burnley-West Ham game.
Well, I got to say that the two yellow cards for Carroll were absolutely hilarious. That was one of the games I had on the other TV.
Get your man bun off this field.
It was so funny.
Get your man bun.
Two elbows to the head
in 3 minutes. Greg the Hammer Valentine dropping them out there.
It was hilarious.
All right, talking about hilarious, let's move on to the next game. Watford versus Arsenal.
Oh, my God.
Troy Deeney.
What's my nickname again, Mark? What's my nickname?
Andy... I
What's
watched
my
this entire What's, game
say it.
Telling everybody at Chabin, I was like,
I believe
like,
it's the chairman that's what it is, of the Troy Deeney fan club.
Okay. I'm going to be very brief and very concise in what I say about this.
Which means he's going to rumble.
Yeah, no. Hey, that's a rumble on.
Go on, Mark.
Sing my song, right away. Anyways. That's a great
He's concise as always.
Go on, Mark.
Okay. So I couldn't help but when I was watching this match, I was like, man, Troy Deeney in on the pitch.
He started for the first time in a while, right?
I don't think he started.
Oh, he didn't start?
No, he didn't.
You're right.
He was a sub.
Yeah.
Super sub.
But I met this guy, Barry, who is an Arsenal fan. Not Robin. From England, who is an Arsenal fan, and he called me a Jonah. I learned a couple things these days. We were both talking about how Watford, like, the entire team looks like... It's like Watford's like a nightclub, okay? So, like... The whole Watford team is a nightclub staff. Troy Deeney's the bouncer.
He does look
their
like
coach,
a bouncer, actually.
Their coach, Greg, you would totally agree
bartender,
with.
Bartender, right?
Troy Deeney looks like the bouncer outside the chip shop who's been, you know,
one too many pies. Yeah, he's like, you're not getting here, baby girl. Like, so Troy Deeney looks like the bouncer. And the coach totally looks like... like Studio 54, like manager, like blazer,
That shirt is tight.
And blazer, the shirt's tight, no tie. Yeah, he's no just tie. Like, I'm just managing
you
stuff.
You know what I love about this? Is that,
that I'm dancing away from the result.
Mark is doing everything he can not to talk about how Arsenal lost 2-1.
Oh, really? Says the Tottenham fan.
To Watford.
Wait, well, Watford, where's Watford on the table? They're ahead of Arsenal, aren't they?
Well, so are a lot of clubs.
But actually, we're in the top eight.
But I think that we need to give Arsenal some credit. They got their first away goal of the season.
Murder soccer. Big German.
I'm about to kill you.
Murdersacker starts his first game in a year.
Straight to town on you.
Murdersacker starts his first game in a year. He gets the goal. Yeah, beautiful.
Let me get to the game. I have my notes. All right, so here's the thing. In the first half, we dominated play. Typical, I wouldn't even say Arsenal over the last year. I would say over the last 5 years or like 7 years or however long I've been supporting them. Like, come on, man. Like, we dominated play. We got the first goal. Yes, Mertesacker scored it. That shows you if Mertesacker scores, we are dominating the game because there's no other way that Mertesacker is actually going to score.
It was off a corner.
Well, whatever. Like,
you know what's hilarious?
If Mertesacker scores, like, we are dominating the game. Mertesacker does not score.
The possession was 54% in your favor. Watford, if according to what you're saying, then dominated the second half. They got a legitimate penalty.
They did not dominate. No, that was not a legitimate penalty. That was not a legitimate penalty at all.
How serious do we need to start taking Watford? Not to take anything away from Arsenal, but let's give some credit.
Watford are in the top four.
Right. So long term, I mean.
We're not going to take them that seriously.
We're not talking top six.
No, but they may be one of those clubs, we've talked about this before, that shape the course of the title challenge.
Right.
You know, like. And, like, I will say, I don't care. He's pulling up all these statistics. I watched the game. They did not dominate anything. They dominated nothing.
Arsenal, sure as anything, didn't dominate anything.
Well, no.
If you watched what happened late in the second half, I mean, it was clear who was going to win that game. It was clear. If anyone was going to win it, it was going to be Watford. And old Thomas Cleverley. United. Yeah, really not even graduate. More like he got kicked off the team.
He did get kicked off the team.
Yeah, he wasn't. Scored the winner in dramatic fashion in extra time.
You know what's hilarious? I was actually at my place at work, the pub,
and you watched Tom Cleverley.
No, I was with an Arsenal fan who might be coming on next week, Steve, and his wife, who's a Chelsea fan.
She was
ridiculing the whole game. It was hilarious watching you guys play.
Speaking of emotion, just real quick. A match we're not going to talk about at the Everton match when Knockert, maybe I'm mispronouncing his name, when he scored the goal for Brighton, the emotion that poured out of that man in front of those stands, that is the passion to bring it back around that this United States of America lacks so much for in this beautiful game. We need guys.
High five going right there.
And you know what? Our women bury us in results. The USA women, the best in the world.
Right.
And maybe it's time to start following USA women in more than
just
football.
They're actually thinking of appointing the longtime UNC women's coach who transition to the men's side. Mm-hmm. This guy's got like 21 national championships. Like
Mia Hamm played under him and many others.
Exactly. And I'm not saying like this is necessarily the guy to right the ship.
Yeah.
But like the guy's a winner.
Shout out to Portland Thorns who won the NWSL this
take a team as a coach.
Mark's still not talking about Arsenal.
I'm going to talk about Arsenal right now, baby girl. That's what I'm going to talk about.
Bring it back.
So here's the thing.
Reining in. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
What's the long-term aspect for Arsenal? Where are they going to finish this year?
Outside of the top six.
Oof.
You're here first.
No. We're going to beat you, baby girl, like we normally always do.
Like we normally always do.
Yeah, it was only till last season that you finished above us. In fact, I remember it was 20 seasons ago.
Well,
since the last time you
tides have changed, my friends. I don't think you'll find many people that are neutrals that will think that Arsenal will finish ahead of
Okay, well, we are going to finish up Bobby.
Let's just do a quick little poll of the studio. Mm-hmm. Non-Spurs Arsenal.
All right, go ahead.
Who's going to finish ahead? Andy, Spurs. Go ahead. Spurs?
Not yeah, Christian? Spurs, it's not even a question.
All right, okay. I'm all giving you guys $10 bets.
In.
A $10 bet?
In six-pack.
High roller.
Eight-pack of Guinness.
There you go.
That's what we're doing.
I'm in for it.
I love Christian. I normally bring beer to the show, and last week he brought Guinness. Yeah. Guinness should fuel this show.
But I think we really need to talk about a meetup on Tuesday for Champions League. Maybe this is something we'll talk a little bit out off air.
Yeah, off air.
I'm in.
But what I will say about Arsenal is that they're not very good. We dominated that game, and we lost by.
See you on Thursday,
the
buddy.
Same way. Yeah. Yeah. See. Yeah. That's been your game the last 3 years. So I don't want to hear it.
All right. We need to move on.
God, I'm about to.
Brighton versus Everton.
Not really. Rooney gets the extra time PK.
I mean, Coleman out. Everton overrated as always. Moyes, Martinez, Coleman, waste of time.
No, I actually heard that Moyes, like, I don't know where he is, but there were, like, there is jokes about him coming to
Actually, one thing I forgot to say about the Arsenal thing that Mark shared, he said that Troy Deeney, your boy, said that Arsenal don't have the cojones.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, we did need to bring the cojones up.
All right.
He's right.
Tell me more about this. Every time you're on the show, you talk about Koeman. Like, I just feel like
Everton are just spinning their wheels, and it's a shame because you're in the. It's like City with United, right? You're in this tiny space, and you have this huge opponent that you're fighting against, and you're trying to find that gear, and Everton just don't find it. And everyone was like, Moyes did so much for so many years. He kept them in the top six or seven, and they made Champions League that 1 year. Isn't that great? Okay, so United wanted to bring him on because Ferguson, the fellow Scotsman, wanted to bring him. Great. He does nothing at United. Total waste of time. They bring Roberto Martinez in, who I despise because Watford... Yeah, we're gonna close out. He beat City in an FA Cup final.
Yeah, but Martinez is at Belgium now. He's doing pretty well.
And guess what?
And he's also about USA.
Belgium will not make it out of the group because of terrible management.
Whoa! That's
the end of our show, guys. We've missed the last game. It was Southampton versus Newcastle.
Thanks for no point.
I'm the official blokes on the bench bookie, and I'm taking bets right now.
All right, guys. We'll be back next week, same time, same place.
Cheers.
Thank you.
A lot to talk about. I'm Andy.
No Alex. Mark.
Christian.
Have a great week, guys.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.